Good morning. My name is Aurora, and I will be your conference operator for today. Participation in this conference call is strictly limited to invited participants. This call is exclusively for financial analysts and investors. If you are not an invited guest, please disconnect at this time. At this time, I would like to welcome you to the conference call on the 2026 Preliminary General Economic Policy Guidelines. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a questions and answers session. If you would like to make a question during this time, please press star 8 on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press star 8 again. I will now introduce you to the speakers. Rodrigo Mariscal Paredes, Head of Economic Planning Unit, Ministry of Finance, and Maria del Carmen Bonilla, Head of Public Credit and International Affairs Unit, Ministry of Finance, to proceed with their remarks. Please go ahead.
Hello, good morning. I'm Rodrigo Mariscal, Head of the Economic Planning Unit. In the following minutes, I will make some remarks regarding to the global economy, Mexican economy, and some remarks on the public finances and the update of the outlook for the preliminary guidelines. Starting from the global context and a recap for 2024, let me say that the global economy environment in 2024 was marked by significant divergence across sectors and regions. As we enter the 2025, the outlook is being shaped by heightened political uncertainty and renewed trade tensions, especially around the U.S. Trade policy. Since October, global growth forecasts have been revised downward in most advanced economies and emerging markets. The main reason is growing uncertainty around the U.S. trade policy, which is already weakening both investment and consumption sentiment. The Global Economy Measure of Economic Policy Uncertainty Index is at an all-time high at 470 points since November 6, the day after the U.S. election. In the U.S., consumer confidence is now at the lowest level since 2021, 32 points below where it was at the start of the previous Trump administration. Manufacturing activity is also softening. The PMI fell below 50 in March, signaling a contraction, and services are more resilient though, with services PMI at 54.3. In the Eurozone, energy prices and weak confidence continue to weigh on growth. Forecasts for 2025 are just now at 0.8% of growth. And in China, authorities reframe a 5% growth target, but tariffs and property slowdown remain a major challenge for this economy. The global inflation trend started in 2023 has continued, but momentum is fading in many countries. In particular, in advanced economies, inflation rose 1.9% to 2.5% from September to February of this year, and this is driven mainly by services. In emerging markets, they edge up slightly from 3.3% to 3.5%, reflecting structural issues and currency effects that we have seen in the markets. Fewer countries are now meeting their inflation targets, only 25 out of 44 that we track down from last November. In the U.S., inflation expectations have risen slightly. 12-month expectations are up 26 basis points since October, and the 5-year break-even increased by 30 basis points at the 10-year by 4 percentage points. This is one reason why long-term yields have risen and expectations for rate cuts have slowed. For Mexico, inflation and monetary policy stands in this context. The disinflationary process is largely complete. As of March, headline inflation is at 3.7% below the historical average since 2003 to 2019. Core inflation is also at 3.6%, also near its long-term trend. However, the real ex-ante interest rate remains elevated at 4.9%, around 130 basis points above the upper bound of the estimated neutral range. If policy were calibrated to historical periods similar with similar inflation numbers, the real rate should be closer to 2.8%. In the current environment, exchange rate flexibility remains a key asset to preserving competitiveness and allow firms to adjust to changes in cost structure, tariffs, and other financial risks that might materialize or that are expected in this year and the next one. Maintaining an overly tight policy stance could unnecessarily weigh on domestic demand, though. Financial markets and U.S. trade policy so far have not fully, we think, priced in the impact of U.S. trade measures. They are especially the new tariffs announcements. Since the U.S. election, the S&P 500 is down 6.1% versus 10.8% during the 2018 trade war. The Dow Jones also fell 3.4% versus 10.5% in 2018. And the VIX index of volatility only rose by 5.8 points, well below the spike that we've seen in 2018. Also, the Mexican currency depreciated just by 1.8% compared to 5.2% prior to compared to the prior episode in 2018. So risk for 2025. Looking ahead, downside risks dominate the global outlook. The U.S. administration has enacted a series of trade-related executive orders. Some new tariffs now exceed WTO thresholds, which raises the risk of legal challenges and retaliatory measures, and let alone a recession or more risk to the global growth economy. Global risk also remain elevated, especially around U.S. foreign policy shifts. And climate risk are also worsening. 2025 is likely to be one of the hottest years on record, with global temperatures expected to reach 1.3 to 1.5 Celsius degrees above historical averages. Now let me go and talk a little bit briefly about Mexico's economic outlook. The baseline scenario is moderate growth, but we have not reflected what today could be announced. So this is a moderate risk scenario that is not really fully taking into account what could potentially be announced today. Nevertheless, after growing 1.5% in 2024, Mexico is expected to continue expanding to some extent in 2025, and basically the main drivers or the things that could be supporting it's the demands that it's based supported by the labor market and some social programs and other sectors that are been recovering and overperforming. Normalizing also supply shocks that we've seen in 2024 to 2025 to some extent. These are supply shocks mainly related to social issues like blocking, closing of roads, and other factors that are not related necessarily to climate issues. The sectoral trends, for example, in transportation, have outperformed for four consecutive years. So if we could sustain that pace, that could contribute to 0.3 percentage point to GDP for this year. Also, tourism has been benefit from more competitive real exchange rate, and in the past, the precision cycles have been resulting in a kind of a buffer for the economy. This year, last year the sector grew by an average of 3.9%, and this is equivalent to 0.1% of GDP. We don't expect that the decline in the public investment weighs significantly on growth, as Mexico multipliers have been proven to be very low. For example, in 2023, public investment contributed to 0.4 percentage point of GDP, but by late 2024, its impact had turned slightly negative. Labor market resilience as of February, we still see like very good results in terms of unemployment. It remains kind of low, 2.5%. Labor force participation at 59%. Real wage bill 0.7% annually, and the formal job creation has been recovering steadily since 2024. That doesn't mean that this would be the outlook for the year, but so far we have seen some good results in terms of the labor market. For the risk of the outlook, we see external uncertainty very high, especially related to U.S. trade policy. This is one of the main risks, and today we will have more more news about it. Then also we think that the tight financial conditions coming from the monetary stance in Mexico and the U.S. With the volatility of the FX and some of the risk premium that we have seen is also a matter of risk, and particularly for the public finances, it has taken some fiscal space that is going to be very useful for this year, next year. And as I was mentioning, drought and extreme weather could potentially affect some sectors of the economy and have some spillovers to the inflation. Mexico fiscal outlook remains sound, supported by updated estimates and robust buffers. The government has made up revisions to both revenue and expenditures of the order of 7.2 billion pesos, keeping the fiscal stance unchanged. Oil-related revenues are benefiting from higher FX, higher oil prices, now at 62.4, and some of the gains, more clearly, these gains more than offset the lower production forecast that we set in the update. Additional revenues potentially could come from new taxes on digital services and imports from non-trade agreements, the elimination of the minimis exemption that started effective in January 2000 or this year, and these are expected to generate up to 25 billion pesos. Now, this was not reflected into the budget that we put it in the first place. And as of February, we have collected for these particular items 4.3 billion pesos. So more or less, we could expect something closer to 28, 25 billion pesos for the year, additional revenues. We also have stabilization funds, and for example, the FAPE has currently 104 billion pesos, and the Mexican Oil Fund 27 billion pesos. Now, together, these two funds can cover up to or can offset a growth shock or a revenue shock of the order of 2.5 percentage point of GDP. In terms of debt and deficit, and debt to GDP is expected at 52.3% by the end of this year, still in line with peer countries, with increasing mostly due to the FX appreciation. We estimate that this is closer to 0.6 to 0.9 percentage points of the increase that we have revised upward. Also from a lower nominal GDP base. Importantly, 83% of the debt is in pesos, reducing risk. And sorry, I didn't mention it, but with me is Mari Carmen Bahia, so she might take some questions on the terms of the debt or anything that you have on that particular issue. For 2026, we expect the debt to remain stable at 52.3%, with a primary surplus of 0.5% of GDP and a fiscal deficit of 2.7%. Mexico starts 2025 with a macro and fiscal fundamentals in solid shape. Domestic demand still resilient, inflation it's broadly under control, and public finances are stable. But we remain alert of the external risk, especially surrounding the U.S. announcement of trade policy, and we are prepared to adjust as needed to save our stability. So now we proceed to the questions. Thank you.